listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2. Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Merhaba, merhaba, merhaba.
Not yes. Yes, please.
Not yes.
Not yes. No.
So a no.
Hello.
Hello,
and
yes.
And who? And
well done, you guessed it correctly. How does he do it?
Mirabung, mirabung, mirabung.
No, it's not mirabung.
What did you say?
Miraba.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
I'll guess one of the indigenous languages of Australia.
Yes, Turkish.
In some cities, you can find an indigenous Turkish man.
Turkish it is, guys.
Lovely.
Yes. So
keep trying. We still feel like we haven't found the one that resonates.
Yes, as we go through all the aloes from around the world. So a Turkish policeman, if you'd say, stolen some of bread, which would be Turkish bread.
I believe they still have crime in Turkey.
Do they call it Turkish bread?
Just bread. They call tip-top Australian bread, which is confusing to them, and some 5 to 6 loaves as high as a normal bread to the Turkish people.
Gee, a high bread.
Yeah.
We do a high bread,
imagine.
Wonder why they couldn't get their bread so high. Were they trying?
Low, yeah, not enough yeast, I think.
All right.
Now,
sorry, we've started.
Can we stay on the bread theme for a moment?
Sure.
Can we start with I love a mystery, Ando. You love a mystery. We all love a riddle. Here's a riddle that snagged my attention. It comes in from valued and important podcaster Jade. It's going to look. Hit us up the contact form, hashin.com. Said some of my friends are part of a Facebook group for the mums at their school, and they have crazy discussions on there. So it's just sort of, I guess, the parents gossiping about what's going on at the school and teachers and stuff. One of the dramas that's been happening is one of the teachers has been giving the year 6 class old pizza as a reward.
Hang on. How old?
3-day old. So they're bringing pizza in from home, reheating it, going, you know, if you do well, I'll give you some of my leftover pizza.
Wow, okay.
So this is what I want to get my head around,
because
it's not really. I'm elaborating a bit there, and maybe we can talk to Jade if we can get her up.
Yeah,
I think that's what's been happening. So that's happened a few times. I get the impression that might have happened a few times.
Yes,
but so then the plot thickens.
Okay,
one of the mums went in and swears that she could smell fresh pizza at the school, not the alleged old pizza. So now they don't know if they should say something about this teacher, or if this person's using fresh pizza.
So the worry was the teacher was giving old pizza because it's assumed it must be leftovers.
And I guess the parents were getting to the stage where they're about to drop the hammer on this guy or girl and go.
And on their way in, they smell
fresh pizza.
Fresh pizza.
So then Jade's question is, can you smell the difference between fresh pizza and reheated old pizza?
I don't think you can.
So she goes, that seems like no contest to me. Surely you could smell the difference, but it definitely needs further investigation. I hope you boys are up to the task. As you may have guessed, outside this studio, I do have a pizza smelling situation.
Great. So
I've got 3-day-old reheated pizza, reheated now to 80 degrees, and a fresh margarita's pizza from Petoni's across the road. Both are Petoni's pizzas.
Great.
I've made sure to do that scientifically.
Yep.
But we've got Jade on the phone before we get to that. Jade, is my reading of the facts here correct? Is that what's been going? Everyone was worried this teacher's given old pizza out?
Yeah, ahoy, boy.
Ahoy, Jade.
Ahoy,
Jade.
Thank
you for using the preferred telephonic greeting.
You can understand it is a confusing riddle that I'm trying to unravel here. Is that what was going on? The teacher was giving reheated pizza out as a prize?
Yeah, as a reward for kids doing their work, apparently. They were getting pizza.
And was the grump on the part of the parents the fact that he was giving out pizza, or the fact that it was giving out old pizza? Like, did it make it feel, did you guys feel any better about the concept that it might have been a fresh pizza?
Well, I mean, we did. It was pandemonium on this Facebook page. It was just absolutely
deep
mental.
Deep pandemonium.
The gripe was it was pizza, so they were handing it out on Tuesday afternoon from Saturday night. So that it's old pizza.
Like, it was a clear Saturday night pizza, was it?
Yeah.
And then one of the mums has gone in to complain or is they're building a case to go, we're actually going to dob this teacher in for handing out Saturday night pizza on a Tuesday.
Yep.
But as they've gone in, they claim to have smelt fresh pizza.
Yeah, one of the dads like jumped on this chain and said, "Oh, I definitely was in the staff room today, and it smelt like fresh pizza." Okay. And I'm thinking, how do you know?
Okay.
So he's saying just before we end this teacher's career. Yeah. Careful, because there is fresh pizza on campus.
And then Jade's saying to this dad, essentially, how do you know?
I think we're getting to the bottom of it.
And now we have the classic setup, which we're going to test scientifically right now.
Yep.
Can you tell the difference between fresh and old? If we find out we can, it means the teacher's probably off scot-free.
Yeah.
Because we can stand by the dad's claim. If we find out we can't tell the difference, Jade's in her right mind to dismiss the dad's evidence.
And they should still go after this teacher for handing out Saturday night's pizza.
Yes.
I think that's right, Ando. Yeah. What we've got here is, Jack, you call Mike's phone, who's outside. Mm. Andy, you hop off the mic.
Yep.
Go and get Mike's phone.
Yep.
I've set up pizza number one and pizza number two in airtight studios across the hall. All I need you to do is go in, sniff pizza number one, sniff pizza number two. And really, it's an honesty system here to go, look, I can tell the difference.
Yes.
And then name your pizza you think is being reheated.
Yes.
Or you go, I cannot tell a difference.
Yep.
They both smell fresh to me.
Okay. As Jack normally takes 5 hours to do anything, I'm going to ring the bell.
We're going to have a quick break. and we'll make a slight edit here as Andy leaves the room. Yeah, and then Jack has 4 or 5 attempts to get the number right. All right, here we go. We're all set up. Andy, you're outside. Can you hear us?
Yes, I'm outside. I can see two different airtight studios set up with a pizza box in each.
That's right. Both Petoni's pizza, both margarita. I picked margarita because I think that is actually the most difficult test. If there was meat on the pizza, then you can generally tell a three-day-old meat. Cheese and tomato, it's been in the fridge for 3 days. They do keep pretty well, and when reheated, it's just the oils that are that are expunged back into the atmosphere. It's going to be tough.
I mean, you've done an exceptional job, and Jade should be proud of you. I'm just being handed now a cup of coffee beans.
Yes, I'd like you to neutralise your nose.
I'm neutralising my nose. Now I'm going into pizza one. I'm not going to look at it, am I? I'm just going to walk in the room and just take on the scent.
Yeah.
That's the idea?
Well, you can open the lid to release the scent.
Okay, I can open the lid.
Yeah, don't look at the pizza, though. That's good. Open the lid, don't look at it.
Okay, I'm opening the lid. I'm not looking at it.
How does that smell?
It smells like a pizza.
Okay, if you had to say fresh or reheated, what would you say?
Oh, jeez. I think at this stage, having not smelled the second, I would say that was reheated.
Yep. Okay, now please make your way to the next studio. You'll find pizza number two.
I've just got the coffee beans in the meantime, Ham.
Well done. Neutralise your alfalfa-free system.
They're completely neutralised.
Completely neutralised. You're now carrying none of the scent of pizza number one that will give you a false read into the next studio. Please smell pizza number two.
Oh. It smells very similar to number one.
How interesting.
Which, very interesting.
Make the call, Ando. If your call is, there is no discernible difference to the man on the street to the scent of a fresh pizza or a reheated pizza, that strikes out the claim that this guy, the dad made in the staff room, that he could smell the difference. And it means it's just as likely that this rogue teacher was serving Saturday night pizza to Tuesday afternoon pupils.
I agree. I mean, I don't think I can smell the difference. If I was to have a 3-point shot at, or throw a piece of salami on a pie from 4 metres, I would say that pizza two was the older one and pizza one was the fresh one.
That is correct, but we forced you to split hairs.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as I said, it was a luck of the draw. And, I think that dad was a liar.
Let's bring Jade back up. Jade, you've heard the scientific test then. What does this do to the calculus of getting this teacher fired?
Yeah, do I have to get a teacher fired now?
It does look that way.
I think so.
It does look that way.
It's certainly seeming that way. Well, you certainly can't use his evidence of claiming to have smelt fresh pizza in the staff room to save this man's job. I think now we need to get a forensic team involved, or you need to get possibly an ASIO agent to dress up as a student and sit in the class, sit in the year six class, and when he hands out the pizza, pretend to eat it, put it in an evidence bag and take it to a lab.
Couldn't this be backing up his statement just as much? That, you know, because we can't tell the difference at all.
Yeah. Oh, no. But, I mean, he's going, oh, I think I smelt fresh pizza, guys, to the dad. You're going, bad news, Dad. There is no difference.
More just coming to the defence of the teacher. I just didn't want a teacher to be fired based on my nostrils, I suppose.
You know, what we're doing is we're removing the dad's testimony from the equation.
Thank you. That's all I needed.
And now the teacher will have to face the full wrath of a pizza investigation, and he can't claim they smell the same.
Correct. Yeah. Thanks, Jade.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks, everyone.
I'm bringing back in pizza one.
Please do. That was half the plan. And World Cup kicking off in a week or two.
Mm.
Good fun. Good luck to the Aussies. Good luck to the Socceroos.
Yeah, I think people find it fun.
Well, it's the most watched event on the planet.
I
think it will beat the Royal Wedding.
Did it beat the Olympics?
It does.
You don't know.
Do you want me to Google it, or do you just want to go with my confidence? I think it does beat the Olympics.
I think I want you to say I don't know. In moments you don't know.
I shan't ever. It does beat the Olympics. It's a bloody popular event, the World Cup. We're just beginning to amp it up now in Australia. We do like to just really ramp up our love for the game just in time for the World Cup. We've got France in our first game, which isn't the best. But have you seen the Coke ads? I've just noticed them happening. I'm sure they've been happening for a little while. Not surprisingly, Coca-Cola is a major sponsor of the World Cup.
Yep. What?
Well, they like to. I mean, they're the premium brown fizzy drink sponsor.
I saw a Coke ad recently that said "Feel the difference."
That's not it. They've got a special new slogan.
And I assumed with "Feel the difference." I
think that might be the new Zero. There's a Coke Zero. There's a Coke Max. Coke No Sugar.
Feel it and you'll feel what?
Feel better, I suppose. No sugar, but you'll taste nothing. So or you'll taste the flavour of Coke. Nothing is not
there. I don't think they
slogan.
Would say feel better, though.
They're feel better than having... Feel the difference.
Yes.
So they're not slagging off their old model. Yeah. No, they've got a specific one for the World Cup or a specific slogan. Kick off the match with a Coca-Cola. is what Coke's gone for.
Yeah.
No doubt paid $100 million for someone to come up with for the World Cup. The problem is it's got a player in the ad. I don't know who it is, but that's not the message for the athletes.
No.
Don't kick off the match with a Coca-Cola. You'll be burping. Kick it off with a ball. Kick off the match with a ball. And if you must have something, have a few sips of water. Obviously, don't dehydrate, but don't have a fresh, icy, cold, fizzy Coke. You'll be doing Coke burps the whole match. Don't kick off anything. Kick off watching the match, I suppose, with a Coca-Cola. But they don't specify watching the match. In fact, the ad that I saw really seems to imply
that
if you're playing, I guess they're hoping the Socceroos are still here and they've seen it.
Yep.
And I don't know, maybe they're going, if the Socceroos are, if they see this, then the Socceroos will be drinking Cokes before the game, and
that'd be helpful for them if lead players
all had a Coke before the game
and they were panning around the grounds.
I mean, how much does a sponsor own the game? Could they ask them to do that?
Well, I remember there was a soccer match here in Australia that was sponsored by Star Wars.
Yep.
And the refs or something came out dressed as the Darth Vader or something.
At what point do the players here just turn around and go, I don't want to have a Coke before the match. I don't want to stand at the centre and have to cheers the French captain and ask Skull a 600 mil buddy and then have to run around with a stitch burping all match.
It'll get to that.
It will 100%. They'll probably be kicking around a Coke, an empty Coke bottle.
instead of
the ball, because Coke came with more money than the ball guys. I've come up with two slogans just now, literally just while we're sitting here, just before we started talking, that I think actually beat kick off the match with a Coca-Cola.
Yep.
One's a very, very advertising one, but I still think it's better. This is off the top of my head. I could have made $100 million for this. Mm-hmm. Open bottle of dreams. Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Because the World Cup's all about dreaming big.
Yep.
And that's easy. For me, I'll do that all day long, come up with these. That's basic to me.
Yeah.
This one is probably more controversial, but I think we'd get more traction.
Mm-hmm.
Score a mouth goal.
Score a mouth goal with a
Coca-Cola. Because then everyone can score a mouth goal. Because wouldn't you like to score a goal during the World Cup? And that, it's not lying.
Yeah, but I
score again, a mouth goal. Score a type of goal during the World Cup.
A mouth goal sounds bad. Doesn't sound great. And like,
why is a mouth goal bad?
Because it sounds like a ball's been kicked heavily into your mouth and then gone in the net. So to me, it seems like it's an own goal or an accidental goal and you've got a bleeding lip at the end of it. Hey, nice mouth goal, man. Yeah, I get it. I'm still sore.
Have an icy cold Coke. Reduce the swelling. I've already had one. The game just started. I can't have two. Hey, Ando.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting piece of correspondence fell to my side of the email fence. The emails do get split 50-50. Young man named...
Thank you to everybody going to hamishandy.com.
Incredible.
Filling out the valued and important podcaster, but also just anything that's catching your thoughts or your mind, just send it into us and we'll ponder it with you.
That's what we're here for. Mm. We certainly don't come in here to have fun every week. Mm. We come in here to get the job done, and that's to chase up leads and to help explore and try and make sense of this crazy world, Ando. And it certainly the musings of the listeners play a huge part in that. And as you've said, every email does get read by someone on the team.
Yep.
Often we try to make it us. Sometimes a few days slip past and you have a sea of blue.
Yeah.
I was very sea of unread, but we churn through them.
Yeah.
Loved getting this from Jace, and I'll tell you why. Basically, it's a very small line that he writes in the email.
Yeah.
What do you know more about than 90% of the population? He's written, look, I know a little about every sport, and something in me stopped. Mm. I said, hang on a sec, who's this from? Jason. Because why, that's from Andy Lee. Because I know a guy that knows a little bit about every sport, every single sport, Andy Lee. Commonwealth Games on, wall to wall. Watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Olympics, Winter Olympics. Very interested. Late night touch football, he'll have a squiz. He's not going to watch a whole game.
Yeah.
He'll have a squiz, he'll get a basic understanding of it, and he'll appreciate it as a sport and at a game level.
Mm.
So I thought, this is how interesting. I now have two men in my life who know a little bit about every sport. I think I have an obligation as a broadcaster to pit you guys head to head in a challenge. We've got Jace on the line. Jace, how are you, mate?
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy, Jace.
Ahoy, Jace.
Tell me if you're happy with this format, Jace. Number one, are you happy to be quizzed a little bit on every sport?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. Didn't really know where I was going to go up against Andy on his birthday, so it's a little challenge, but there we go.
Certainly, you're going to have a guy that's riding high on his birth year, his birthday year, year some decades ago. Here's how it's going to work, Jace. I don't expect you guys to know rules or anything.
Mm-hmm.
That would be unfair. Like, that'd be boring if it was just like, okay, you know, in ice skating, what are the five technical fouls you can do or whatever.
Yep.
What I'm going to do is run through, I'm going to alternate the serve between Jason and Andy.
Okay.
And I'm going to put 2 minutes on the clock here.
Okay.
All you have to do is give me an, because you've said you just know a little bit about every sport, Jace. And that's the same with Andy. You're just going to give me an interesting fact or an interesting piece of information, news, tidbit, just after a tidbit about each sport. We'll alternate the serve and I'll, in the moment, decide who's I liked better and we'll move on to the next sport.
Okay.
We're going to progress through easy, harder and very hard sports.
Okay.
We're going to start with easy. Jace, are you happy that? Would you like to serve? Would you like Andy to serve?
No, I'll serve.
Oh, gosh.
Jace, to serve?
I'd rather be a 2 feet Tony than a 1 knee Noni.
Absolutely. Jump straight up, show no fear, while Andy is there looking like a goose.
An acceptable goose,
but still a goose on one knee. Jace, already, I want to give you a point. But for that, we're not a surfer yet.
He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. All right.
Jason with the serve. Time starts now. Easy one, AFL. Jace, go.
Carlton have had the worst start to their season they've ever had in the history of AFL.
Andy.
They used to play with hats on.
I'll give it to Jace. Okay.
Hang on, mine's far more interesting.
Well, I think everyone was... Stop the clock.
They used to play with hats on, and that's why it's called a mark. When they caught the ball, they used to drop their hat and put it where they stood because no one stood on the mark.
I think you're angry because Jason's highlighted a flaw in your team, a historical low point for your team. Start the clock. Andy, swimming.
Swimming, freestyle, you can do any stroke you like.
Jason.
National team's called the Dolphins.
Give it to Andy.
I think mine's a lie.
Stop the clock. New rule, no lies.
That's what threw me.
Yeah, new rule, no lies. Point stands, new rule. New rule, no lies. One each. Start the clock. Jason, field hockey.
There is a lady in the women's team called, with her surname Holzberger, which I think is quite funny.
Andy, an LBZ is when you hit it off the back stick in the low backhand zone.
Easy point to Andy.
Yeah, hockey, come on.
Sorry. Andy, weightlifting.
Weightlifting? They use chalk before they go up. That's what that big power
Easy
thing
point
is
for you here. Jace, what do you reckon?
I reckon there's a transgender, now female, in the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, that was very good.
Good point. Good point to Jace. Yeah.
I'll submit.
Harder. Mm. Jason, with the serve, ice skating.
Will Ferrell, he's probably got the best ice skating movie out.
Okay.
Tonya Harding was banned for life.
Very good. Tonya, we've all seen it, but well done. Annie, judo.
Judo, you can choke out a player, as in they pass out.
Yep. Jace.
I can't lie, can I?
That's a new rule, yep.
Sorry, mate, I got in there before that rule was
Need an answer.
All right, the highest percentage of winners ever is actually the blue uniform.
Oh, we'll give it to you, Jace. It's all tied up heading into the final.
I think it's a lie, though.
Here we go.
What'd you say, Jason?
So the highest percentage of winners has actually been wearing blue.
Yeah.
Highest percentage of winners have been wearing blue.
Yep.
Yeah.
How do you know that, Jace?
He knows a little bit about every sport.
Well, you just watch a little bit of the Olympics, a little bit of Commonwealth Games. Bruce McAvaney comes out with these things.
Andy, he knows a little bit.
Okay.
He does know a little bit. Yep. I mean, we let you have your lie.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
And we now stand at 3-3 by my count.
And how many seconds to go, Jack?
We've got under 10 seconds.
Gee.
I actually might go here. Mm. Fastest finger first. You're both serving at once.
Okay.
Start the clock. Modern pentathlon.
Running's part of it.
It's got 5 sports.
One. I'll give it to Andy. Andy's got the win. they were both bad, so I had to award that last fact on speed, which got Andy across the line for a 4-3 win. Valiant effort there, Jace.
Well done, Jace.
Yeah,
No one would be interested in listening to the commentary at the Olympics going, here's the modern pentathlon. Two interesting facts about this. Running's part of it, and it's got 5 sports. Do your homework, McAvaney.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jace.
Cheers, Jace. Hey, May 10, we dedicated half a podcast to a contest where a girl called Kate came down to summon ducks.
A day that will live in infamy, Ando.
Yes.
She could not summon a duck, nor, as some people have pointed out, could she summon a Eurasian coot, which was actually the water bird she was placed in front of.
People
were
watching the video.
And
people should go and watch the video at hamishandy.com.
You'll see they're as close as a duck as you'll ever find.
We went down to the local lake.
Yep.
Everyone has their own local lake. We went to our local lake and we assumed the water bird floating around the surface was a duck.
We've always said, we've never hidden this fact. Mm. We have a deep, deep love for every inch of this wide country. Mm. And long country.
Yep.
It's a very big country, Australia. Yep. Deep love for it. All pockets of it. Mm. Wetlands, swamplands, the country, the wheat belt, the desert, the outback, the top end, the depths of Hobart, Cradle Mountain. You name it, we love it.
Yeah.
But we've never pretended to be a marshland or a woodland show. We're an urban podcast. Yes. We podcast in an urban area. So when we needed to select a duck-dense lake, our options were limited and we used the best of our judgment to go, okay, that lake, Albert Park Lake, is not too far away and is well known for its aquatic bird life. It's water bird life. It's not unusual to see a swan there or a coot, as we now know.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. The problem is
coot.
That's what we think. We think a coot is as good as a duck.
Yep. We've said it before, we'll say it again.
This week, the media came down hardness.
Boots a shoe, shoes a boot.
the media came down hardness.
They did.
And
this will not go away.
It hasn't gone away.
Controversy took over the Hamish and Andy podcast this week, with the pair waking up to an absolute shitstorm as news of the Eurasian coot kerfuffle hit media outlets across the country.
Hello and welcome to Nine News. I'm Peter Hitchener. Making headlines tonight, a duck summoning contest fraught with deceit. As it turns out, there were no ducks at all.
Good evening. Welcome to the project. First up tonight, an absolute duck up. Hamish and Andy think a coot is a duck.
This is a disgrace. The two should be banned from organising any duck-based contests in the future. The governing body must come down hard here to prevent something like this ever happening again.
Things got physical outside the courts Tuesday morning as Hamish and Andy attended the preliminary hearing on the matter. The pair had this to say.
We've been advised to make no comment.
That's right, there will be no comment. But I will say this, the coot responds to a very similar call. They have a very similar voice box and audio hearing.
No comment, Hamish. We'll let the court sort it out.
Yes, but I will say this, it's a witch hunt. That's what it is. This is a bloody witch hunt.
Certainly not a duck hunt.
Oh, f*** off, mate.
A fight broke out, and although Hamish has back problems from picking up his son, Hamish managed to get the better of the reporter in what was a pretty epic street brawl. Back to the duck coot fiasco now. Chef of popular Chinese restaurant The Bamboo Tiger had this to say.
There's definitely a difference between a duck and a coot. I've never made Peking coot. I'd definitely lose my license if I did. It would taste very different no matter how much plum sauce you put on it.
It was decided early on the Wednesday morning that the matter would be resolved with an internal review. Viewed as a huge win for Hamish and Andy, we now cross back live to hear the findings.
Wow, that is good news, Ham, that it's turned into an internal
I hadn't heard
affair.
That report.
That's a good...
No, we had heard that report.
So, as a triumph for our show...
When we got the news, when it came down from the media to go, look, and... There are no two sweeter words you can really hear than internal review.
Yeah.
Our industry-based association is three that are good because it means you get to police yourself. But we've always
said... We take it seriously, though.
We take that responsibility very seriously. All right, I'm worried we take it too seriously. We might police ourselves harder than the actual police would police
us. Exactly. And that's the worry, but we thought we'd forge on.
That was a glaring error. Andy and I, when we sat down to do the internal review, we knew full well we could be looking at jail time. And if that was the call, we would absolutely cop it on the chin.
Oh, totally. Now that's why you've been growing that beard.
Yeah.
Just in case
as
you had
a cushioning for if someone tries to punch me in jail. Thank God I didn't need this facial crumple zone. Because the good news is it turns out we will not be going to jail.
No.
I'll start with the good. I'll cut off that as our downside. We have escaped jail time on this.
Yep.
And upon looking at the internal review.
And a full investigation.
Massively.
Internally.
We did it twice.
Yes.
We got the results and said, okay.
Let's
good,
test that.
Good, but do it again.
Yep.
We reviewed twice internally. Huge investigation with no stone unturned.
Yep.
Our findings were as such.
A duck is a coot.
A boot is a shoe. A shoe is a boot. We're clear. We're all in the clear.
That's
absolutely in the clear.
And there'll be no rematch.
There will be no more. Yeah. There'll be no more talk of this. Yeah. We have been cleared. And if you now protest, you're protesting against a situation that's been investigated twice and cleared twice.
Well, this is very exciting, Ham, because last week on the show we were discussing Smarties.
V M&Ms. We were delving into the history a little bit of the evolution of the M&M Mini, then also now the Mini Smartie. The question we came up with was, is this too heavy a marketplace? Are they just bashing heads, these two giants of the confectionery world?
So we're thrilled that the PR manager of Nestle joins us, Sally. Thank you so much for joining us, Sally.
Hi, how are you?
Very good, Sal. Congratulations on what you do. Smarties is an integral part of every child's upbringing.
And part of every adult's as well, right?
Oh, okay, of course. It's ageless. It's show no bounds, yes.
Our question, Sal, and I've struggled to find an answer of this online, was what I believe the M&M Mini came first and then Mini M&Ms are more recent. Mini Smarties. Are a more recent addition to the Smartie lineup?
They are a fairly recent addition. They are, yes. We launched those last year.
We were discussing this last week on the show. We've came up with an idea.
We're just nervous that it appears that Smarties are trying to copy M&M Minis.
Not, I mean, yeah. That could be the charge that's levelled.
And hence we have a product.
Well, I mean,
idea.
But you're both in the same category now. Yeah. And so we went, well, why did Smarty go mini?
Yeah.
Well, they're delicious, by the way.
Yeah.
But why did they go mini when they could? Has anyone thought of the maxi Smarty?
Has that been
one giant Smarty?
Yeah.
That is in its own container.
It only have to beat M&M's at their own game. Wagon wheel or something like that.
Yeah.
But how would we decide on the colour?
Oh, my mate, that's like the fun. And that's like a Kinder Surprise.
Sally, that is the fun, not to be mentioning all these other companies. Yeah. Do you know what is crazy? And I'm just getting into this now with my little boy, but you see kids, Sally, I promise you, the most incredible marketing words you can have on a pack is collect them all.
Yeah.
I mean, you would just go, all you'd have to do is go, we're not telling you what colour it is, collect them all. Yeah. The shit that people are pumping out in the toy world, right? Collectible figurines. Yeah. If you make one, you make 50, and you just go collect them all. Kids go bananas. Go collect them all.
Put a different colour hat.
And then you make three that are silver, gold, or sparkly, and they're the rare ones. Yeah. And then the kids go bananas trying to get the rare ones. So, Sally, do collect them all. We're not telling you what Smarties we've had. Yeah. You get a sticker or you get like a tattoo to show your friends you've now achieved the full rainbow.
That's good. That's
and
good.
Then do like a gold one, a rare one.
Yeah.
And
which
go,
could be the ticket to come into the factory.
Wow.
The golden Smarty.
The golden Smarty. So, Sally, I'm not sure if you know the history there in Nestlé, but have they ever toyed with...
Did anyone float the maximum Smarty?
Going a bit bigger.
I don't know, actually. I'll have to have a chat and get back to you on
before
that one.
Before you make it, Sal, I will say this to you. Two things to be careful of. I don't think the maxi Smarty, this will be controversial, should have exactly the same dimensions as the standard Smarty.
As in ratio?
As in that...
shell to chocolate?
That kind of ovaloid shape, whatever it is, that fat frisbee.
Yeah.
Because when you're eating through the middle, that's a huge amount of chocolate.
Yeah.
It should probably, to keep a more pleasing ratio of shell to chocolate, be a flatter shape. Would you consider doing that?
Like a gold coin kind of a chocolate.
Oh, I'd still like to see the outside thin and the inside thicker.
Like a disc.
But not as thick as it would were you to blow up a normal Smartie.
Like
the other thing I would say to you is, and I don't know if this goes against the whole ethos of Smarties, it would the melt in the hand factor would become a big issue because it's now a two-handed Smartie.
Mm.
Could you somehow lacquer it or, you know, have less... Well, I'm not saying you go the full M&M, which the colour doesn't come off, but just some sort of less colour on the fingers. Would you agree with that, Ando?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or we're going to have to come up with some creative packaging there, perhaps, to help hold the Smarties while you eat it.
Gloves. Maxi Smarty Smarties. Gloves. $12.95 sold separately. Collect them all.
Collect them all.
What colour glove are you?
You must wear the same colour glove as you can the Smarty. That's good.
And then I suppose you could sell a glove satchel. Because you'd have a Smarties branded glove satchel where you carry around all your gloves in. So when you buy a Maxi Smarty from the shops, you open up, yes, green, I've got green. I've got my glove satchel with me, put my green ones on.
So, Sally, with regards to how big, when Hamish is miming eating one, it looks as big as a
taco.
Quarter pounder. It seems like your Maxi Smarty is as big as a quarter pounder.
Do you know what the actual almost perfect dimensions for it would be? Just the top lid of a McDonald's cheeseburger bun. Shape.
Okay.
I mean, you obviously make it a bit more symmetrical, but that sort of size and feel.
It would still count as Maxi if it was the top lid of an orange juice container.
Yes, we know that, but this is a one serve.
And we do need to be mindful of, you know, portion and making sure.
I'm only talking about a 45 to 55 gram serving size here.
My point is, Sam, is do we not quite go as big?
It's a treat. We've got to be treat wise. We all know that.
Not quite go as big. We might lose our option. Like, for instance, we might lose our opportunity to have collect them all. But if it was a single roll, kind of like Cool Mint or Mentos, and of the bigger Smarties, and you kind of flick them out like that, like Rolos used to do.
Yeah.
As a different approach to a
how many in a roll?
Eight.
No. Sorry, Sal.
Sorry.
You need to be there for that. No, we're just going to go one big one. We're going to go a Maxi Smarty.
Do you guys have the ability there to make a Maxi Smarty?
Or are they...
Look, You know, we actually have a team of chocolate experts.
Yep.
So I think this is a case of I'm going to have to talk to my people, yes, and who can come back to your people.
Awesome.
Yep. To actually see what is even possible.
Can but we make a maximum? Yep. Make a maximum, yeah. Smarty. The dimensions are critical to get shell to chocolate ratio.
We'll leave it in your court. You come back if there's any inkling that you guys can go down this and we can get a beta version made up of one of the Maxi Smarties, we're very interested in helping out with development. So we might hear back from you, hey?
We'll talk to
absolutely.
We'll talk to some glove and bag manufacturers to get the glove and glove satchel.
You can see the show bags, right?
Yeah.
It's
big
time. It's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thanks so much, Sally. Appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Stay in touch. Bye. Thank you. Ando, the very, 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 very small aquatic elephant in the room, the fish, is the issue that last week on the show, it came to our attention that you're trying to get rid of the fish out of your house.
Yep.
You and your girlfriend share a fish.
And
initially it was her fish. Yep. You pretended to be on board for a while. Mm. Jack and I suspect your confidence in other areas of the relationship is built up to a point where you think you have enough goodwill collateral to now make this move.
Relocate the
and
fish.
And get the fish out of the house. She loves the fish. You want to tip the fish into a pond. A house fish into a wild pond. It won't stand a chance. No, you know it's a death sentence.
No, it's in my dad's pond.
It's a death sentence for a fish that's used to living in a house, watching TV, nice warm house.
Yes.
Last week on the show, I agreed to legally represent your girlfriend, Beck, on behalf of the fish, Fido.
If you missed it, everybody, this is what was presented.
If you want Fido to go and live in a pond, you must spend 24 hours in the same pond. So you have
fair. I think that's fair.
So you have an appreciation of Andy's considerate.
I don't think you'd like him in there either.
Becky really wants this fish gone.
Oh, no.
4 hours?
No, 24 hours.
24 hours.
Can we meet somewhere in the middle?
All right, we'll take sunrise to sunset.
Fair.
I'll have a think about it and come back to you next show.
Thank you. So at the end of the negotiation there,
I thought about it. The
deal was struck. I couldn't believe you were thinking about it.
Yep.
I said you need to spend 24 hours in the pond.
Yep.
We managed to get that sun up to sundown.
Sunrise to sunset. Perfect time of year for that because...
crisp.
Well, no, it's just less daylight hours.
Yeah, but it's cold.
Yeah. So what are you asking?
Is there an update? You said I'll get back to you.
Yes, there is an update. So I was down the coast on the weekend.
Yep.
And as we're leaving the beach house, I grabbed my wetsuit.
Very good.
And
which you have been using for nothing down there.
Because
you can't surf.
Absolutely nothing. Tried to go for one swim, but my face got too cold.
You need a balaclava.
Yeah. Or just, I think surfers stay out of the water.
Breaststroke.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so I grabbed my wetsuit, grabbed my booties and tossed them in the back of the car. And Beck goes, "What's that for?" And I said, well, I've got to sit in Dad's pond with the other fish.
For 12 hours.
For 12 hours this week at some point. And don't want to get cold. And I'm just going to order Uber Eats. I've worked that out. Charge my phone. Take my iPad. Watch a few shows.
Yeah, you can knock off a box set.
Yeah, knock off a box set.
Where is the pond? At your parents' house?
Yeah, outside my parents' house.
So the Wi-Fi will reach.
Yep. Knock off a box set. And order Uber Eats and, you know, probably have some fried chicken and get this fish out of the house.
Just so a fish hasn't beaten you.
And so,
I just love the lengths you'll go to go, you thought you were offering me a ridiculous deal, I will do the unthinkable.
Yeah. And Beck said, just so you know, the fish isn't going, period.
Well, that was the offer. I was acting under her instructions.
And I said... Well, you made the deal. She said, no, I didn't make the deal. Hamish made the deal. And
I was acting with her best intentions. I will admit that. She did not instruct me to make the 24-hour offer. What you've correctly assumed there was that was a gamble for me. It was a ploy, which you're now calling.
And she said, the fish isn't going. And I said,
you've driven a rift between me and my client.
And I said to her, so I can't go and sit in the pond. She goes, you can if you want, but the fish is staying.
Well,
so
I wonder if you decided not to. Well, I wonder if you did do it if we'd legally still have to put the fish in there because I was her lawyer in that moment. I mean, shame on me. Maybe I shouldn't have made that deal.
Yeah, but
maybe I don't charge her for that consultation.
No win, no money.
No win, no fee. I'm sorry. The fish unfortunately has been relocated, so it's not going.
Nah, the fish will stay
for now. What's your next plan?
I don't know.
Because the fish will not stay.
I don't know. See you next week.
I can't see this being Andy going, okay, the fish can now sleep in bed with us. No. I love the fish to pieces.
Yeah.
You don't like the fish.
Yep.
The fish has definitely got a target on its back.
Yes.
Thank God it's got a 3-second memory because I wouldn't want to be that fish. I'd rather forget about my current scenario where I've got a Putin-like figure trying to get me out of the house using every tactic he can think of.
No.
You're living hell for that fish.
The fish...
He's gone.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Well, that's not a good sign for the fish, is it? Okay.
See you next week.
Fido, if you're listening to this, again, thank God you'll forget this because you're a dead fish swimming.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.